to John's first epistle, 3rd chapter, verse 1 through verse 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 3. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself," or in him, "purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you. May be seated. I want to talk to you tonight about the children of God. The children of God. Amen. John asked a question. "Behold, what kind of love, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Amen. Now, John was not a novice. John was not a new convert. John was not just starting this journey. John had been living now for many, many years. As a matter of fact, it was beginning a new century of time. The time that he wrote was just about 100 A.D. The church had now been in existence for some 70 years. He had seen a lot come and go in 70 years of time. Amen. He watched the church in its infancy. He watched it as it grew by leaps and bounds. He watched as the Jewish church began to mingle with the Gentile church, and it became a worldwide church. He had friends that had been crucified upside down like Peter. Some that had been beheaded like Paul. Some that had their skin peeled off piece by piece. Some that had been fed to wild beasts. He himself had been boiled in oil. He'd gone through all kinds of troubles and all kinds of trials. But John was still fascinated by one thing. He said, "Oh, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." He was still carried away. John had not lost the wonder of his salvation. Hear me tonight. Don't allow yourself to lose the wonder of your salvation. John had lived long enough that there were all kinds of things happening in the church. There were influential men that had drawn congregations away. They were teaching all kinds of strange doctrines. Amen. People were falling on the right hand and on the left hand. And he saw all of that, but he didn't lose his focus. He said, "Oh, I still remember how much Jesus loves me, and I'm still in love with him. And that's the greatest thing that I can think of." I'm going to tell you tonight, let me tell you how to stay in love with Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Hallelujah. Don't get your eyes on people. Don't get your eyes on preachers. Don't get your eyes on singers. Don't get your eyes on churches. Don't get your eyes on failures. Don't get your eyes on anything else. But keep Jesus Christ as the focus of your life. Don't get over the fact of the Sunday school song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Don't get over that. Amen. Don't get over that. Oh, that's so simple, brother. Yes, it is. And yet it's so profound. And it's so powerful. It'll keep you in nothing else. We'll keep you. The church is in its third generation. Lots going on. A lot of water under the bridge. John's gait is so much slower than it used to be. Amen. If he had any hair, it's white by now. Amen. Life, he's seen a lot of things happen, but he's still in love with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He's still fascinated by the fact that Jesus loves him. Amen. John is called the apostle of love. Amen. He don't get the idea he was a weakling. That's, we're not talking about mushy gushy, sloppy agape kind of business here. Amen. He's talking about real love. Amen. If any man love me, he'll keep my commandments. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. Amen. That's the kind of love he's talking about here tonight, folks. It was a genuine, heartfelt, life-changing, soul-saving love that he never, ever got over. He said, what kind of love is this that we should be called the sons of God? Or the word is technon, if I could just say that tonight. It really means children. So ladies, you're included. Girls, you're included. Amen. It's not a specific term for the male. It's the technon. We are called the children of God. It's a dear term. It's a term of endearment. It's a term that is inclusive. Amen. That we should be called the children of God. Amen. I don't know what it means to you, but it's wonderful to be called a child of God. Hallelujah. My father gave me a great name. And I'm very, very thankful for that tonight. My brother made a statement a little while ago that was so profound. And it really has stayed with me. In our family, heart problems are prominent. All of us have had heart problems. Amen. And it just kind of runs in the family. It's, you know, we got bad genes. I'm going to quit wearing jeans, I think, if that's the problem. But if it was just that simple, but it just runs in the family. We just seem to have that problem. Amen. But my brother said, he said, but you know what? He said, that's a small price to pay to be a part of this family. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, the world doesn't like me. That's a small price to pay to be a part of this family. I'm having difficulty serving the Lord. It's a small price to pay to be a part of this family. I'm being persecuted on my job. I'm being laughed at in my school. It's a small price to pay to be a part of this family. People laugh at me. People make fun of me. People don't like me. It's a small price to pay to be a part of this family. You know what? John saw a whole bunch of that. You know, the church, that's why he wrote to him, Brother Hart, and he was writing to him. He said, if any man love the world, because there was a lot of people falling in love with the world. There were a lot of people growing cold. Jesus said it, did he not? Amen. He said that the love of many will wax cold. Amen. Hey, there's people, they still come. They still warm a pew. They still go through the motions. They know how to sing the songs. They know all of the rules and regulations. They said, you love me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. John wrote to one church, and Jesus is speaking through John, and he said, you have left your first love. I want you to notice, he didn't say you lost it. He said you left it. If you lost something, you got a problem because you don't know where it is. One of the dumbest questions people ask is, where'd you lose it? Well, if you knew, it wouldn't be lost. Jesus didn't say you lost it. He said you left it. And if you left it, you know where it is, and you can go back and you can regain it. You can pick it up. You can rekindle it. You can start over again. Amen. Hallelujah. He makes it very plain to us. He said, don't lose that love. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that a marvelous thing? That I'm a child of God. I like that old song that said, oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. Hallelujah. I who was wretched and poor now can sing. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a child of the King. Amen. What a wonderful thing tonight that we have been called the children of God. Amen. Amen. The psalmist wrote Psalm 23, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hey, there are still places Christians can't go because of his name's sake. There are still things Christians cannot say because of his name's sake. There are still things Christians won't do because of his name's sake. There's a way that Christians won't live for his name's sake, because we are the children of God. And there are some things that are required of us because we belong to him. Everybody else is doing it. Maybe they are, but I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm not everybody else. I don't bear everybody else's name. I don't live like everybody else. Jesus loved me enough to save me and give me his name and wash me with his blood and fill me with his Holy Spirit. That's why I can't be like everybody else. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got something to live up to, folks. I said we got something to live up to. We've got a life tonight that is a little different than somebody else's because we belong to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said he came unto his own. And his own received him not. He came to those to whom he had revealed himself, to those whom he had given the treasure of his word, and they rejected him. But it said, hallelujah, to those that receive him. Amen. The Bible says that he would make them to become sons of God. Hallelujah. In one way, I'm kind of glad they rejected him, because it opened the door for Johnny Grissom to squeak in. Hallelujah. He flung the door wide open and he said, whosoever will, let him come unto me and drink. Hallelujah. I'm so glad tonight he made it available to all of us. Amen. Praise God. And then did he not say, you'll be hated of all men because you talk in tongues? No. Because you go to church? No. Amen. He said, you'll be hated for all men because of my name's sake. You know, the most persecuted people in the world are Jesus' name people. Amen. I've heard people say it over and over and over. Why do you people, why are you so fanatic about that name? Why not? Neither there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's that name tonight. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sorry, but the Bible teaches me to be fanatic about the name. Amen. That's the scripture. Hallelujah. It just tells us plainly. I don't ever want to get over the fact that I bear his name tonight. Woo! Amen. You got to understand my whole name. My name is Johnny Darrell Grissom Jesus. Amen. And you can forget the first three, but don't forget the Jesus part. Hallelujah. When I was born, they tacked those first three on me when I was too little to do anything about it. Amen. I don't know anything about that. I don't know how I got all that business. But I do know when I was 12 years old in Midland, Texas, Pastor Merle McDaniel took a little old 12-year-old boy in a baptistry. And he said, I baptize you, Johnny, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And I received a name, hallelujah, amen, that made me a part of the family of heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. 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 Hey, it makes a difference, folks. My name is not Johnny Darrell, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I am a father. I am a son. I do have the Holy Ghost, but I'm not the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I have a lot of other relationships. But my name is Johnny Grissom. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. He said, I am come in my Father's name. So the Father's name must be Jesus. He said, the Son whom I will send in my name. And so his name must be Jesus. Hallelujah. The Son's name is Jesus. Thou shalt bear a son and call his name. You're getting it. Amen. Amen. He said, and the comforter that will I send in my name. Hallelujah. What's that name? Jesus. Amen. I don't know, folks. I still kind of get excited about that. Pardon me. Amen. If I just do. But I don't ever want to lose the wonder of his name. Amen. 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 He said, beloved, what kind of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God? But there's a greater wonder than that. There's a greater wonder than that. Amen. Hey, Brother Hart, your reputation is what other people think about you. And that's okay. I would like for people to think and accuse me of being a child of God. Somebody said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Amen. I hope so. Amen. I hope so. I hope there's enough evidence of Christianity in my life. Amen. That people would know that I'm a child of God. Amen. But there's more than that. The next verse says, beloved, now are we. Now, you can be called something and not be that. Amen. I said, you can be called something and not be that. He said, but now are we the children of God? I don't want to just be called a child of God. I want to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a state of being. There's a difference in paternity and fatherhood. There are people who are paternal parents, but they're not real fathers. They have fathered children. They have added their portion to the project, to bring offspring into the world, but that does not make them a father. Amen. It's a lot more to being a father, amen, than just adding your physical portion, amen, to bring about the miracle of life. Amen. Amen. But God is not just our paternal being. Amen. The Bible said we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Abba, Abba. Abba is an Aramaic word that means dada. It's when you're first starting out and you don't quite have it yet. You hadn't got your lips around daddy, and you sure can't say father, so you're just saying da-da, mama, da-da, amen. And that's what he said. He said you start out and you're screaming out to your father, Abba, Abba, Abba. Amen. You understand something about him tonight. He's not just your paternal father, but he's your daddy. Amen. Beloved, hallelujah. He's so special to us tonight. Amen. You know what? He didn't have to take us, but he did. He kind of had to hang on to some of them Jews because he made a covenant with them. Amen. He didn't have to take me, but he did. Woo! Amen. There was a time I was sitting in a service like you're sitting in tonight, and the Holy Ghost come along and said, I choose you, son. I choose you. Hallelujah. And I got to crying and tears running down my cheeks, and my heart was melted like wax. I didn't want to make a step. I didn't want to give in. But he kept saying, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. Amen. I couldn't get away from it, Brother Hart. I found myself in an altar weeping and praying and repenting. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad he chose me. I'm glad he chose me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we are the children of God. I'm his by birth tonight. By new birth. Hallelujah. I've been born of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Something happens. It's a creative act. When a person is born again, it's more than a decision. It takes a decision. You've got to make up your mind, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. It's great to make a decision for Christ, but there's more to it than just making a decision. You need a birth. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to be born of the water, and you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins and receive the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Amen. For with the mouth, confession is made from the heart. How do you know something happened in the heart? Because the mouth expresses it. And the way you know that you've received the new spirit, as you begin to speak with a language that you do not know, that you have never spoken before, and something, it's a process that takes place in your innermost being. And you are born again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now are we the children of God? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. And he said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. What you're looking at not is not what's going to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What you're looking at is what not was. What, this isn't what was. Amen. I used to be skinny. Well, not really, but skinnier. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I could run like a deer. Now run, people say, oh dear. Hope we don't have a heart attack and die. Amen. Things change. Amen. Praise God. What is it you get? You get older, you get the five B's. You get baldness, bunions, amen, bifocals. Belly, that may be the sixth one. A lot of things add on, you know, as you get a little bit older. Amen. Young people, don't laugh. It's going to happen to you someday, I promise, if you live long enough. Yeah, you're looking at nothing. I'll never be like, oh, yeah, you will. You just wait and see. We were pretty one time. Amen. I said, we were pretty one time. Hallelujah. Amen. But time happens to all of us. Amen. That old clock takes its hands off and it'll put wrinkles in your skin. Amen. It'll do things to you. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what you see is not what's going to be. Hallelujah. Amen. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Oh, hallelujah. Let me show you a little bit about tonight what we shall be. Praise the Lord. John had another vision. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, the scripture said that he had a vision of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. Verse number 12, he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, which represent the seven churches of Asia. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man. He looked like Jesus, but he was different. This was a different Jesus. This wasn't Mary's baby, meek and mild. This wasn't the crucified Christ. This wasn't the one bloodied and hanging on a tree. This wasn't the one in the hands of sinners. This wasn't the one limp that they took down for a cross. This is a glorified Christ. This is the one that ever liveth. Hallelujah. This is he which was and is to come. The Almighty. Hallelujah. John said, and he said he saw him. First thing you notice, he said he's girt about with a garment down to the foot. He said he's got a long robe on. You know who wore the long robe? Kings wore long robes. And John said he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. You know who else wore a long robe? Priests wore a long robe. The Bible said, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you got a high priest that will represent you at the throne of the Almighty. Amen. Prophets wore long robes. Amen. Judges wore long robes. You got somebody tonight that's worthy to judge. If I'm going to have to stand before a judge, I want him to be just. We've got some of the best judges that money can buy. But I'm glad there's a judge that's just. Amen. He not only knows what happened, he knows the motive for it. He knows why. And he considers motive in the mix. Amen. He mixes his justice with mercy. What a great God we serve tonight. John said he's my king, he's my priest, and he's my judge. Hallelujah. He said, and he was girt about the point, perhaps, with a golden girdle. Bible times they wore a belt, and they wore it around the waist like we do, except they wore robes. And the robes served basically like a button does. You know, when you get out in the wind, and you're walking where you can get things tangled up, it's good to button so that you don't fly loose. You ever get your coattail hung on something because it wasn't close to your body? Amen. Soldiers in battle understood that. When they went to battle, they wanted their garment girded about their loins because they didn't want to get entangled up in something and get what couldn't get loose and be killed while they're trying to get away from something. Or a soldier be at to reach out and grab a loose garment and jerk him onto the point of a sharp sword. They understood that they need to have their girds, their loins girded about them. That's why the Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let your thoughts just wander every direction. Amen. You know what we need? We need some mental discipline. I said, we need some mental discipline. Amen. Somebody said, I can't help thinking. Yes, you can. Praise God. Some people, you know, they got Chinese food syndrome memory. You know, you eat Chinese food until you can't stand anymore, and 15 minutes later, you're hungry. It just don't last very long. Somebody, they let their mind just go out in every direction. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, gird out the loins of your mind. Control your thinking. Amen. Boy, should I really preach about this or not? Let me tell you, one of the greatest things that has affected the mind of North Americans is Hollywood. The television has done more to destroy people's minds than anything else. Because every complicated problem can be solved in 30 minutes. And people that die this week in an episode will be alive next week. Life doesn't work that way. Amen. There was a time people actually had to think about things. Amen. Praise God. You know, that's one of the reasons people say, well, you just preach too long. Amen. No, you just need to get some mental discipline. Early Pentecost, we talk about early. Oh, I wish we lived back in the old days, do you? 2 and 3 hour sermons were the norm. And if you walked out in the middle of a 3 hour sermon, somebody'd say, get you thimble fool, brother. They were tough. Amen. Midnight services were common, even though they got up before dawn to feed the livestock. Amen. I'm talking about some tough people. God help us to get rid of our old sissy spirits today. Amen. Praise God. I'm serious about this, folks. Amen. It bothers me that some of us are getting so soft. Amen. We want everything to be just like television. We want it done in 30 minutes. And we want to be entertained. Don't make me think about something. You're getting it from both ends here. Praise the Lord. We got them right where we want them, Brother Ferguson. Preach on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. One young man, he said, I want to be a preacher when I grow up. They said, why do you want to be a preacher? He said, if somebody's going to be talking, I want to be up there talking instead of sitting out here listening. Amen. He had it about right. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you see, we need to gird up the loins of our mind. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go that far afield. Gird up the loins of your mind. Control your thinking. Control your thinking. The Bible said, bring every thought unto captivity to Christ. Amen. Bring it in. You have that power. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You can control your thoughts. But we're just not used to it. I said, we're not used to it. Amen. We've allowed ourselves to be too weak for too long. Amen. We need to strengthen our ability to think. Amen. And concentrate. Bring our thoughts into captivity to Christ. Amen. Praise God. I'll try not to take that much time with every thought here. We'll never get through. Amen. Praise God. So you got to gird up your loins. The Bible said he's girded about with a golden girdle. But it says it's around his chest. That means that he's relaxed. Amen. You know what I think about the Lord tonight? He's not worried about anything. Amen. That means, it seems like I remember reading what he said when he left here. And his last words were, it is finished. In other words, there's nothing else to do. So he's relaxed. Hallelujah. He's done everything that can be done. He's in control. I like what Isaiah said. He said, "When in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Amen. He saw him in power. He saw him in glory. He saw him on a throne. Hallelujah. He wasn't pacing back and forth. He wasn't worried. He wasn't wringing his hands. He wasn't wiping his brow. He wasn't concerned or worried because everything is in control. Amen. Don't forget, he's got it all in control tonight. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Amen. That means not more than just he wasn't using Grecian hair color to, amen, so he could keep it looking the way it used to be when he was young. It's okay to have white hair. It's okay to have gray hair. It's okay to have no hair. It was all right. Amen. Praise God. But people just, we live in such a, people want to stay young. The reason people want to stay young is because they don't believe in God. And if you don't believe God, this is all there is. This is it. So they worship youth because they have nothing else to look forward to. Amen. Paul said, if I had hope in this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable if this is all there was. Amen. Praise God. But because I know there's something better, I'm not worried about wrinkles. Gray hair, no hair. I'm not worried about any of that. Because I know that I got somewhere better to go than this. And heaven is better than this. Amen. So he said his hairs are white like wool. That speaks of his great wisdom. We have a God that's wise. The difference in wisdom and knowledge is this. Wisdom is the ability to know how to use knowledge. There are people that have knowledge but don't know how to use knowledge. They use it foolishly and abusively. But our God is, he's a solid, well, I'm going in Spanish now. He's all wise. That's what I'm trying to think of. He's an all wise God. Amen. He knows everything. He's omniscient, but he knows how to use what he knows to the right way and the right ability. Amen. Praise God. So our God is, he's a God that's wise, all wise. He knows how to apply knowledge. Somebody said knowledge is power. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Amen. But the Bible said he's worthy to receive all power because he always uses it rightly and he never abuses his power. He only uses it rightly and for good. And so our God is wise. And then he talks about his eyes. He says his eyes are like a flame of fire. He's an omniscient God. He sees everything. The Bible said all things are open with him with whom we have to do. The term open there is a term that's used for the opening up and the butchering of an animal. I mean, there's nothing hidden. You talk about open, that's open. The skin's flayed wide open. The muscles are flayed. Amen. Stripped off of the bone. I mean, everything's open. He said God sees you just like that. Nothing hidden. He sees the outside. He sees the inside. He knows every thought. He knows what you're thinking, why you thought it. Amen. What you're going to do about it. He knows all things tonight. He's an omniscient God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said his feet are like fine brass. Though that talks about his judgment. Amen. Brass is metals in the Bible have symbols, and brass is a symbol of judgment. The Bible said he's going to put every enemy beneath his feet. Hallelujah. All of the enemies are going to be beneath his feet. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's going to make all of his enemies his footstool. Amen. Praise God. I read somewhere that kings sometimes, if they had an enemy, they'd have somebody paint a picture of him on their footstool. And then they'd put their feet up on top of him. And they were saying, "Bud, you're conquered. You're beneath my feet." Hallelujah. His feet are like brass. And then he said, what's the next thing that he seed him? He said, as they were burned in the furnace, and his voice is as the sound of many waters. Amen. You talk about a thunderous, glorious voice of God. I don't know if you've ever been where there's a lot of water. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? Amen. That's an interesting place. When you go to Niagara Falls, you can't even talk to one another. It's thunderous. It's awesome. Amen. Praise God. It's going to drown out everything. Hallelujah. Oh, the thunderous, the powerful voice of God. In his right hand, he had seven stars. You look a little further down, he said the seven stars are the pastors, the angels, the leaders, the messengers of the seven churches. Amen. Thank God that we're in this right hand tonight. It's good to know that you're in the hands of the Lord. Amen. And he said, out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. Amen. Praise God. Of course, this is not literal. This is the word of the Lord. The Bible said the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. My, the word of God is sharp and quick. It's powerful. The Bible said it can discern between the thoughts and intents. That's mighty fine. Hallelujah. I'm glad he can do that, Brother Fry, because you know what? I can't control all my thoughts, what comes in my head. Yeah. I said, you don't control everything that comes in your head. Isn't that right? You'll have thoughts that you don't want to think. That's right. I've heard people say it's just as bad to say it as to think it. Wrong. Amen. It'll come in your head that so-and-so, well, they've gained about 10 pounds since the last time I saw them. It's best not to say it. Wisdom dictates there's some things you think you don't say. Amen. Thoughts and intents. A thought can be a fiery dart. You know how temptations come? As thoughts. You know what the power of Satan has over you? A thought. All he can do is give you a thought. So there are thoughts that come in your mind that you didn't ask for. Amen. My, a cigarette would taste good right now, and I never even had a cigarette. Hadn't had one for years. Where'd that thought come from? Wouldn't it be great to have a cold beer? Where'd that come from? Huh? See what I'm saying? That's temptation. That's how things come in your head. They just come in. You didn't ask for them. You don't think normally. It just comes in like that. And that's a thought, but it's if you let it stay, it becomes an intention. Amen. And intentions become actions. But the word of God is sharp enough to divide asunder thoughts and intents. Cut it off before it becomes an action. Thank God for his powerful word. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, you talk about something powerful. This is the most powerful thing there is. This is what created the heavens and the earth. This is what keeps the stars in place. This is what keeps the planets in their orbits. Amen. Praise God. And this is what's going to destroy his enemies. Out of his mouth go a sharp two-edged sword. Amen. He's not going to fight with them. He's not going to dirty his hands. He's just going to say the word. by the power of the word of God. Hallelujah. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. I love that. You know what I like about it? It didn't talk about what color he is. You know why it doesn't? Because people in Africa think that he's just like them. And people in Asia think he's just like them. And people in South America think he's just like them. And people in North America think he's just like them. Amen. Wherever you are in the world, everybody thinks he's just like me. And you know what? He is. It's not about his color. It's not about his race. That's immaterial. That doesn't matter. It's not about how handsome he is. We get so hung up on looks. Amen. Yeah, we do. Shake your head like this. Amen. You get a little spot on your face and you think, and the whole world focuses on that right there. Oh, look, I just look at there. And you just, oh, that's horrible, isn't it? Bad hair day. Amen. You see, your looks, people focus way too much on what they can't do anything about. Amen. But you see, the concentration is not on his physical appearance. It's on his glory. It's on his glory. It's on his glory. Hallelujah. That's where the focus is. He said his countenance is like the sun shineth in his strength. You ever tried to look at the sun at noonday? I mean, when it's shining high in the sky. And you go, I used to do this when I was a kid. And I'd look up at the sun, and I'd squint my eyes real tight. And I'd watch it for a minute. Amen. And all of a sudden, and after I got through looking at the sun, all I could see was the sun. There was this brilliant orb going in my eyeballs. And everywhere I looked, I couldn't see anything but sun. I was blind by the sun. I was blinded by light. Hallelujah. Then after a while, I started seeing red. Thing was red. And then eventually when my pupils got back like they're supposed to be, then I could see clearly again things that were around me. We used to sing an old chorus that said, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You see, when you're faced with temptation, turn your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes full of Jesus. Get your mind full of Jesus. Get your heart full of Jesus. And when you see his glory, everything else passes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see him, we're going to be just like him. Hallelujah. You talk about a new body. And you talk about a new life. Praise God. You want to go see somebody and they're a long ways away? I just want to see them and there I am. I don't have to take a taxi. I don't have to drive a car. I don't have to get around and get on an airplane. I don't have to worry about FAA rules. I don't have to worry about pilots going to sleep or whatever they did and passing, flying past the mark. Amen. I just want to see somebody, and I think I sure would like to see so-and-so, and there we are. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. No more pain. No more tears. No more sorrow. Amen. God himself shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. That's what we're going to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Let's stand together. No wonder John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." that we should be called sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? It does not yet appear what we shall be. Hallelujah. What did he say? He said, "And every man that hath this hope," if you have this hope tonight, "he purifieth himself even as he is pure." I think heaven's going to be worth it. I said, I think heaven is going to be worth it. I said, I think heaven is going to be worth it. And just to be pure. Why do we want troubled minds when we can have peace? Why do we want to live in a world of turmoil when we can have peace? Why do we want to allow ourselves to be subject to habits and things that destroy us when we could live in peace and purity? Amen. Somebody said one time something that made a lot of sense to me. He said, "There's not one thing that you won't have to give up to go to heaven that you will not give up to go to hell."
Did you hear that?
Somebody said, "Oh, I just don't want to give that up." There's not one thing that you'll have to give up to go to heaven that you will not give up in hell. Amen. Not one thing. I've heard people say, "Oh, I'd rather party in hell." There ain't going to be no party in hell. I said, there's not going to be any party in hell. That's a whole stupid idea. That it's just going to be the opposite of heaven. No, 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 no. It's a place of torment. It's a place of pain. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of darkness. Amen. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. Amen. So anything that you have tonight that might keep you out of heaven, this is a good time to get it right with the Lord. Any impurities that you have allowed into your heart or into your mind, this is a good time to purify those things tonight. Bring it to Jesus. How about it right now? Amen. Here's an altar. Here's an altar. Amen. Let's come and thank God. Let's come and pray. Let's come and get some things right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's purify ourselves. Let's purify ourselves. On earth alone, to be like Him. Life's journey from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. I want to be like Jesus, I want to be like Jesus, on earth alone, to be like Him, all through life's journey.
Life's journey.